I'm a girl with the four leg gators. I was just checking to see if you were listening.
From Destrehan, Louisiana. Hold on a second.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you.
Momentum, excitement, energy. You know, I mean, they say all this stuff, and you know what they mean, but, you know, it doesn't describe what you mean. I mean, it's just sort of out there.
You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me.
I was just worried about, you know, listening to, you know, all your guys' rap poison.
Welcome to Sideline Judgment. Here are your hosts, Sergio and Tyler.
Welcome to Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler.
And today, Tyler, we're talking about the playoffs, baby.
Two games.
That's it. Semi-final at the Rose Bowl, semi-final at the Sugar Bowl, Michigan taking on Alabama, and Washington taking on Texas. The winner of those two games will meet on Monday, the 8th of January, for the national championship game to see who is the 2023 season national champion. Tyler, let's go ahead and just jump right into it. Monday, New Year's Day, 5 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. It is the college football playoff semifinal at the Rose Bowl game presented by Prudential. Good Lord, the amount of sponsors. Michigan, number one, is taking on number four, Alabama. Michigan, 13-0, the Big Ten champions, minus 120 favorite. Alabama, 12-1, the SEC champion, plus 100 underdog. Tyler, what about the game? What do you think will happen? The floor is yours.
So, this is there's part of me that wishes that we would have seen Michigan Washington in the Rose Bowl just because it would be like Pac-12 of old, like Rose Bowl of old situation. However, I do actually really love this matchup. I think that Michigan, we've had the whole thing the whole year of like, until they face Penn State and Ohio State, we're not going to really know what type of team that they are. Mm-hmm. And they won both those games without Jim Harbaugh at the forefront, and so I do think JJ McCarthy has had a better season than Jalen Milroe. However, they're actually pretty similar to me in certain ways, not really stylistically, because Jalen Milroe is much more of a power runner, but I think what they're similar in is that they are one trick ponies, the both of them. JJ McCarthy throws a bullet pass and doesn't know any other type of throw. He throws that thing as hard as possible every single time, like a laser. There are no touch throws, none of that. And he's really had some tight window things that have worked out for him. And they've got a really good receiving core. I love the way that the Michigan roster is just built really solidly.
Yeah.
As we've talked about a million times, Jalen Milroe is very like, he's a good runner and he throws a great deep ball. And those are the things that he's great at. The physicality of this matchup is what is really going to be, I think that's the kind of the name of the game for both of these teams. The physicality. Usually you think that in a game that requires physicality, Alabama's going to win that matchup. They did against Georgia. However, like they didn't against Texas, and they haven't at all of their games. And Michigan, a couple of years ago, I would have said, oh, yeah, they're going to whip up on Michigan. And Michigan, I feel like, is the most physical team in the country. So I think this is going to be really tight. I think that Saban's defensive game plan is going to be big, because this is where we're really going to find out, like, what does J.J. McCarthy have? Because I feel like I kind of know what Jalen Milroe's had some tests, and I kind of know what he's good at and what. And J.J. McCarthy, I don't, like, even the Ohio State and Penn State defenses, which are amazing, I still don't think it's quite the same as going up against the GOAT.
One would think.
I'm so torn, because I truly can see a similar situation to that Jalen Hurts Tua Tagovailoa year, where it's like, okay, you let Alabama into the dance, they win the whole thing. But at the same time, like I do think this is one of Saban's best coaching jobs. It's very similar to that 2015 beat Deshaun Watson the first year, where you had Jake Coker playing as quarterback, where it's like, It may not be one of his best rosters, but he coached the hell out of that team.
Yeah.
And he has been coaching the hell out of this one, and they needed some prayers to go their way, but they outcoached Georgia in that last game. Nick Saban with a month to prepare is hard to bet against. However,
yeah, that's like, an understatement of the year.
we keep, I don't want to downplay what Michigan is under Jim Harbaugh and what they've turned into. Obviously, mm-hmm. yes, they lost to TCU last year, and that's amazing, and I loved it. But I really feel like this team's even better. So
I agree.
I'm torn. I'm leaning towards Michigan.
Well, like, why don't you hold your pick and let me tell you a couple of things that I'm thinking here. So with Michigan, I agree with you. I think that this team is better than last year's team. But I think in the grand story arc of Jim Harbaugh, right? A couple weeks ago, I sent a text into our fantasy football group chat, which, by the way, as we are recording, ladies and gentlemen, it is 6:25 on December 17th. We just finished recording the last episode you just heard, the Bowl Mania episode. And at the moment, Tyler, I am up 92.36 to 75.06 on friend of the pod, Milwaukee Mafia, Johnny Williams. He has the only players that he has left right now are Stephon Diggs and Dak Prescott. And Dak Prescott just got sacked on a third down to punt the ball yet again. And Diggs only has 6.1 points to Prescott's 4.16. Meanwhile, I have George Kittle currently playing, and your boy Travis Etienne is still yet to take the field. It's looking good for me. I'm not gonna count my chickens before they hatch, but it's looking good. Anyway, in our fantasy football chat, I just want everybody to know, man, stop playing with me. I got the assets. Come on.
Finally paid off.
Puka Nacua, free agency, picked him up. Turned George Pickens into a whole bunch of other things, into George Kittle. Come on. Stop playing with me. Traded for ETN. Stop playing with me. Anyway, sorry, I had to assert my...
What does this have to do with...
It's just me being proud of myself for saving my fantasy season. Just... Now I'm so close to the semis. Here we go.
Talk to me when you have a trophy.
You know what? Fair point.
After I hope it's you at the end of this year, but I'm gonna keep throwing that at everybody who hasn't won one yet.
Fine. Thank you. All right, going back to this game. So I did say a few weeks ago in our group chat that sports is one of the best avenues for storytelling. And I think that trials and tribulations of what Michigan has gone through, I am not talking about this season, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about a 3-year arc of building a team, basically playing SEC-style football of the late 2000s, the late aughts. And they've really dominated on the line of scrimmage. I agree with you. They're the most physical team in the country this season. They have an offensive and defensive line that gets in your face and knows exactly what they're doing. They're well-coached, even when Harbaugh is out. Their assistant and interim coaches have all been fantastic. I want to remind everyone, Harbaugh only coached this team on the sideline for 6 of the 12 games this season. A team that can be consistent and do all that with all of the craziness happening at the head coaching position is a really big deal. I also think that in terms of, yes, you never, ever, 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 ever want to give Nick Saban a month to prepare. And it's clear that in the SEC championship game, we saw a different front seven defensively from Alabama and a different offensive line offensively from Alabama. So there are adjustments that have been made. I just personally think that this Michigan team, with all that they've gone through, with the talking a bunch of trash and then losing to TCU, with the sign stealing scandal and all that's going on, I think that these guys are wired in a way where they can actually use all of that as fuel and as inspiration going forward into this game. I think that video that circulated where they announced the playoff participants, and instead of FSU was Alabama, and people were like, oh, did you see the Michigan video where they were like, oh man, we got Bama, but then they kind of picked themselves back up. I think that that's a good sign. I think this is a team that recognizes that it's not going to be easy to win a national championship game. Clearly, you got the team that you thought was, oh, we got the perfect matchup last year in TCU, and then you fell on your face. Maybe this is what they need. Maybe they're a team that needs to play higher level competition for them to truly show exactly who they are. So in my opinion, I don't think this is a pick against Nick Saban. I think this is a pick in favor of a Michigan team that over a 3 to 4 year stretch is finally culminating. And to be honest, I just think it's time. In a storytelling perspective, this is where you're a writer, Tyler. Well, this is where the part in the story where they would finally overcome and get to what it is that they're looking for.
They've gotten better. That's the thing. They've gotten so close. 2 years ago, they got into the playoff, which was the big thing because it was their first time getting into the playoff after years of sniffing it. And they beat Ohio State for the first time. Mm-hmm. But that was just to be a sacrificial lamb to Georgia. And like no one believed that they were really going to stand a chance.
No.
You go into next season, they look even better. They beat Ohio State even more handily.
They start to feel themselves a little bit.
Yeah. And they fall up short by getting upset by TCU.
Mm-hmm. A team that they thought they were going to walk all over.
They were in that game, and that was they got upset. And that's this is the year. This is the year where if you're following that arc, this would be the moment that you at least get over this hump and make it to that game.
I agree.
It feels. I think part of it is that like it feels to me that Alabama has gotten further than they should have. And that does not mean that this is that they've got nowhere else to go because it's a Nick Saban team and it's Alabama. Right. Like they're not the team that we're used to seeing these last couple of years, but they're still Alabama with Nick Saban. But whereas Alabama feels like they have gotten farther than maybe they are hitting above their weight only so slight. There's plenty of worlds where they don't get this far. Mm-hmm. Michigan feels like it belongs in this.
Yeah,
like they're the ones, and this is part of the situation. For everybody's still arguing about it, and we're not going to do it here because we've talked about it at length. But like about the Florida State Alabama situation, like no one had ever any doubt that Michigan was going to be in this.
Correct.
So I'm leaning towards Michigan. It just feels more complete on that side. Now I can totally eat my words.
I think
that this is a 1-point game, but
yeah, me too. I think this is the moment, Tyler. I don't want to punt the Nick Saban conversation. We can have it. We can have a brief version of it, but in terms of starting to see cracks in the armor, starting to see the foundation cracks a little bit. If Alabama loses this game to Michigan, will there be conversations about Saban? Or is it, wow, look at how they struggled earlier in the season. Look at the changes and adjustments that were made. Look at how they made and were a completely different team than we'd seen in earlier parts of the season against Georgia. Is that all just going to go out the window if they lose to Michigan? Because it's like, how did you lose to Michigan? You know what I mean? Some ridiculous conversation.
Go ahead.
Or is this just the crown jewel in an insane, like the, wow, can you believe that he did this at this age, doing all with this roster, with this team, and they just win another title? Is this the GOAT gonna GOAT situation? You know what I mean? Because I feel like if they get past Michigan, I think they win the Natty. Like if they get past this Michigan team, whether it's Washington or Texas, and we'll talk about that in a second, I think that they can win the national championship, truly. Do you think that that's something that's possible, or are you kind of...
I truly feel that...
Because we've got a lot of the Michigan talk, like, you know?
I truly feel that all four of these teams that are playing right now could win the national championship.
Me too.
And it's beauty to be able to say that, because usually we can't. Because I always reiterate, the 14 playoff was not about four teams that could win a national championship in any given year. It was about sometimes there's more than two, and we have to. It was a lot of times just like they wanted to avoid the whole, oh, Oklahoma State got left out of the title conversation because they wanted to play Bama LSU again. And in this situation, that would never happen. Yeah. It is happening, but it's happening down at 5 rather than at 3. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen next year at 13 instead of 12. Like,
yeah, but the 13 and 12 situation is different.
It's harder to argue. It's just like
you got
like,
multiple losses. Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing where I was like, at that point, you could truly just be like, well, you should have won more. But the point being, I think what really depend is It's not if they lose. It is how they lose. You know, if they lose a close game, I think it is going to be one of those, like, look how far, like, Nick Saban's still the GOAT. Like, look how far he's able to take this team.
Mm-hmm.
And if Michigan looks like the better team the whole four quarters, I think that might be. We've done this several times. We've had the passing of the torch moment. And every time that it feels like we've passed the torch, Saban kind of puts his hand back on it. He's just like, no. Like, I'm not.
Yes.
Like, the big one being Dabo Swinney. Like, Dabo Swinney, in the first year that Clemson won a national title, that was the big thing. Is that, like, not only did he beat Nick Saban for the first time ever in a national championship game, he beat Urban Meyer on the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big one of, like, okay. And then they did it again.
I think less so than a passing the torch moment, I just think that was an anointment moment of Dabo Swinney. I think it was welcome to the club, Dabo. You are one of us.
I think people were ready to say this is the passing of the torch, and I do think it was more like it was just a welcome to the club, Dabo situation. Mm-hmm. You are undoubtedly in this club now. Like,
right.
And I don't know, like, because I do personally think. I think there are some chinks in the Nick Saban armor, in the Alabama armor. And I think, again, although I think it more has to do with that the rest of college football is catching up to what Nick Saban is doing.
Agreed.
The transfer portal is allowing the mitigation of recruiting in that. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me explain. Recruiting will always be important. It's the life of the program. I truly, even though in this age of the transfer portal, and I'm all for it for player autonomy and everything, I still don't think that you can consistently build through the transfer portal. That has to be an addendum to what you create. I do think that we're showing that you can do a lot more with it than I thought. I used to just be add a key player here and there. Now it's like, okay, we might be replacing a fourth to a third of our roster. That's still not the majority of your roster. You still need to build through recruiting. And that's Nick Saban has always been the best at that until Kirby Smart came along. But even then, it's like it's a 1-2 situation. But with the transfer portal now, a lot of those teams that would get so close, but you just know they didn't have the edge of Alabama, they can just get up there, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, Washington's the biggest case. Most of Washington's success is based off good roster, great coach, but a huge part of it is that we got the right quarterback in the transfer portal that is putting us over the edge.
Yeah.
A lot of Texas is still homegrown. A lot of Michigan's is still homegrown. But like a lot of the teams that have been successful this season have gotten up to that level. And it's really felt like seven teams could win the national championship this year. A lot of it has to do with that transfer portal. And I think that is more just college football is catching up to what Nick Saban was doing better than anyone. And he still is the best. But what that means now is the difference between a capital B and a lowercase b is what I would say.
I like that. I agree with you. I think one last thing, and then I think we can make our picks and move to the next game. I think is you mentioned the passing the torch moment, like, or the perceived passing of the torch moments that we've had. Every single time, it was just someone beating Saban. This time with Michigan, the reason why I think we could legit have a conversation on is this the tail end? Are we seeing it happen kind of thing? Is because if Michigan beats them, they're going to beat them the way 2012 Alabama beat everyone. And it's going to be hit you in the mouth, up in the front. I like my football really Republican joke in the last episode. It's going to be that hard-nosed hit football. They're going to win it in the trenches. They're going to run the football down your throat. They're going to do a play action. And luckily they have a quarterback in JJ McCarthy, Michigan does, where their play action is pretty lethal because their quarterback could probably operate on one of those. JJ McCarthy could probably be very successful in Washington's offense. I'm not saying they'd be exactly where they are now, but I think he would be successful in that offense. He can throw the ball. He can make those reads. He can do that quarterback stuff. So if they do beat them, Michigan beats Alabama, it would be a it would be a watershed moment to me in college football history. It would really, like, I'm really looking at this game
as a program status situation.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's like Alabama got beat in a national semifinal because they were out hit in the mouth. And especially after seeing them hit Georgia in the mouth in the SEC championship game. Like, I think it would say a lot about the state about where college football is going. And like you said, that the viability of the transfer portal to allow for these teams to make such drastic schematic changes from year to year and have the personnel to be able to do it properly. Now, I'm not saying that's what Michigan did. They've been building this out organically over years, just as Alabama has, whatever. But
Michigan is not that way. Michigan has been building strictly through their pipeline, which is working out for them. Like,
but if you told me in 2012, hey, in 10 years, not only are we going to have a playoff, and not only is Michigan going to beat Alabama in a semifinal, they're going to do it hard nose hit you in the mouth football. I wouldn't believe you. There's no way that would happen. So I think that's got another cloud above it, and I just think it's very interesting. So, Tyler, who do you have, Michigan or Bama? We got to make a pick.
I do think it's interesting. I want to bring this up. I think it's interesting that the entire reason I'll say this in Alabama's favor, because we talked a lot about them assuming that they're going to lose. And it is a real 51-49 situation to me.
Yes,
I think Michigan has just looked better the entire season and have proven that they're good. So it's one of those, like, I'll take that over Alabama. I think it's worth noting Alabama so very clearly has the worst of the four quarterbacks in the playoff, in my opinion. Like, I don't know. Maybe you disagree. Yeah,
but I agree with you.
I think there's a clear order to me, in my opinion. It is clearly Michael Penix at one. It is agreed. Then Quinn Ewers, then J.J.
agreed.
McCarthy, then Jalen Milroe.
Agreed.
If Alabama had the third or second best quarterback, we would be feeling differently about this, I think.
I think so too. And not to say Milroe's a bad quarterback. I think he's very good, and I think he fits what they're doing. He's a very good quarterback. He's got a cannon of an arm. He can run the football well, and he makes really smart decisions. But he's not the other three.
Yeah. I'm going to pick Michigan. And I feel weird about it. Because every time you pick against the GOAT, it doesn't feel great. But
I'm going to make you feel
truly. That's going to truly create what conversation. There ain't going to be no punting after this game. We're going
to
figure out.
We are going to have the conversation if it happens. And I am also picking Michigan. So you're not alone in that. And again, I'm with you. I'm picking Michigan. It's like when all right, you got to have to shower now, but the water's freezing and you put one foot in. Like, that's where I'm at. I'm picking Michigan, but very hesitantly, because Nick Saban with over a month to prepare. Who knows, man? This is not Michigan, hands down. No, who knows, man? Who freaking knows? All I know is I'm staying the hell away from this game. -120 Michigan or +100 Bama. No way I'm gambling on this game.
No, don't gamble on this. Don't do that to yourself.
So 5:00 at the Rose Bowl, ESPN on New Year's Day. Tyler, following that, also on ESPN, also on New Year's Day, 8:45 Eastern kickoff. It is the college football playoff semifinal at the All-State Sugar Bowl. The Washington Huskies are taking on the Texas Longhorns. Washington is currently an underdog +160 despite being the 2 seed. Texas is a favorite at -190. What are your thoughts on this game? It's funny because the game we just talked about is hard nose hit you in the mouth football style.
So is this one.
Y'all want some passes? This is what true. This game feels like to me. Y'all want some offense? That's what this feels like to me. It is going to be hard nose hit you in the mouth. They got some physical. The lines on this team are really good. I think Texas has a better line than Washington on both sides of the ball, but still really good. It's just the quarterbacks and the offensive styles are much more wide open. So you're going to see a lot more different concepts. Washington's got a few NFL future NFL wide receivers on there. Texas seems to be.
So does Texas.
I'm comfortable with saying Texas is back with a lowercase b.
It's hard to say that they're not.
Yeah, it is hard.
Like I don't even have anything against Texas, and I'm like, it's like, it'd be really hard pressed to say that they're not back. Now, there's a small part of me that would love to see an Alabama-Texas rematch. I'm just going to be real honest with you.
if that happens, I think I know which way I lean, but
yeah,
please continue.
So interesting thing about this game is that I think people have criticized Washington a lot for their close game situation. They've won a lot of close games to get to where they are. After the first Oregon win, they were real winning a lot of close games. They didn't blow too many people out. And that's a large part of the reason that Oregon was blowing people out, and people thought that Oregon was going to blow them out. And I think a big part of that was that Washington's line, specifically their offensive line, had not really lived up to, like, had not really played as well. And in the Oregon game in the Pac-12 championship, Washington hit them in the mouth. Washington's line of scrimmage, they dominated both sides of the line of scrimmage in that game, which was very new, which was very counter to what we all believed would happen. And I think the thing is that, like, I think Texas and Washington are extremely similar teams. I do think Texas is a... Everybody thinks Texas is a super balanced attack between passing and running, and that's true. And everybody thinks Washington is super pass happy. And while they do have an elite passing offense, they do rely on Dylan Johnson, their running back, a lot. And he is very talented. In fact, the rushing numbers for both these teams are extremely similar. On top of that, too, Texas has been in a lot of close games. Now, they've had the benefit of they had to start a lot of their backup quarterbacks for that because Quinn Ewers was out for a little bit. But these teams are very similar. And I don't know. Texas, I think it makes sense that Texas is the favorite. It does because of the story of the season. But I actually don't see these teams too differently. I think that if they each played the other person's opponent in their conference championship games, I feel like the same results would have happened. Like,
Say that one more time.
So if Texas had to play Oregon and if Washington had to play Oklahoma State, I feel like the scores would have been largely the same. Like,
really? You think Texas would have beaten Oregon? Have beaten Oregon?
Well, I do think they would have beaten Oregon.
It would have been a close game. Knowing what we know now,
I wouldn't have picked that at the time. But knowing what we know now, so all that I'm trying to say is that these teams are more similar than I think we give them credit for. And I think a lot of people are like, Texas is way more physical, and I think that they are more physical. But I think they're way more physical. And
can I say something in that regard specifically before you go on? I think it comes from the fact that Texas bullied, like, capital B,
a lot
bullied
carries that
Alabama
game
in Tuscaloosa. Like, the line play, I saw, like, I came out of that game going, Texas might win the Natty. Just because of, again, we talked about just now, Michigan doing it the way Bama does it, Texas doing it the way Bama does it. Like, it's that kind of style. So, but yes, please continue. I just want to say that I think that's where that comes from. That
mentality. And I think, like, that was a big moment. And that has, and this thing is, it's, they won that game and it's the way that they won it. Cause we've seen plenty of teams beat Alabama by chucking it all over the yard. And Texas was like, we will throw it. We are a good throwing team, but we're going to bully you on the ground first. And it was a very, like, not fluky way. Washington has a much more balanced offense than people think. I've reiterated this. I think it's really tight. I do think Texas has a big home field advantage in that this game's played at the Sugar Bowl and Washington would have loved to play this at the Rose Bowl.
That's because, and if for listeners who don't know, the number one seed gets to pick which game they want to play in, and then everything else falls in line. So obviously, Michigan, knowing they're playing Bama, is not going to go to New Orleans. So they were like, "We're heading out to Pasadena. We'll play out there," which just means Washington was stuck with playing in the Sugar Bowl with a reasonably close drive. It's going to be a Texas home game, like you said.
Yeah. So, with that being said, I would be a hypocrite, a buffoon, to not pick Washington in this situation because I've been riding with them all year. And I do think that Michael Penix Jr., one, he avoided the Heisman curse of like the high, if you win the Heisman that year.
Yeah, but like,
Joe Burrow.
That, man. And he should have won. I personally think he should have won the Heisman out of those options that had.
But he may have saved his entire NFL career by not winning the Heisman, by avoiding that curse.
Like, I'll give you that.
I'm just kidding. But I do truly think. I think a lost part of this is that, one, Sarkisian, Steve Sarkisian, excellent coach, excellent, like.
Yes.
Especially after his first stints at Washington and USC, taking the time off, coordinating those offenses at Bama.
It's just nice to see someone even taking football away from it, seeing someone really understand they have an issue, correct the issue, take control of their life and get a second chance, and by all accounts, do things in a very healthy way. So football aside, very happy for Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah, and but I think that so he has a definite advantage there. I think Kalen DeBoer is an excellent head coach as well.
Very underrated in terms of comparison with his peers.
And I think, like, one of the things that I love the most about Kalen DeBoer is how much he trusts his players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very evident with the way that they've played most of their games that he trusts Michael Penix Jr. undoubtedly.
Yeah.
He does not coach scared. Every time I feel like I want to pick Washington, I'm like, oh yeah, like, but this is Texas too. I think I'm going to personally go with Washington. I'm interested to hear your analysis.
I've been quiet, because I don't know.
It's hard. So it's a hard. So,
I'll tell you right now, in my like initial picking of the games, I went with Texas. And I don't know if that's what I want to keep it with. And it's because for me, one of the bigger things too is I said a lot, like I have been kind of doubting Washington all season. Not 100% doubting. Like I have said to people, hey, I think Washington's been the best team in the country this year from a results standpoint. Like, yeah. I think that they have been the most balanced on both sides of the ball. They've beaten the teams. I loved Oregon. I picked Oregon to win the Pac-12 title game. I thought Oregon was incredible in the second half of the season. And here we are, Washington wins. It's a thing of like Washington wins. They just find a way to win.
They do it.
I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they keep getting away with it, but they just find ways to win. And there's something about that that just like, I don't know, because as much as I think Texas is a really good team, you look at the Oklahoma game. And again, I'm not like knocking them for it. It's a rivalry game. It's, you know, Oklahoma was a good team this year, blah, blah, blah. But it came down to the fact that Oklahoma had the ball last at the end of the game. If Texas had the ball last at the end of that game, they'd be undefeated. Completely believe that. Washington is in a situation where it just feels like, you know what? Washington's going to have the ball last, you know, like I'm torn because of those situations.
It feels inevitable.
And then also, I'm not going to lie to you. You gave incredible, great analysis about coaching and offensive styles and defensive styles and the way that these two coaches have built their teams and how they trust their players. From a storytelling perspective, Michigan and Washington being ranked 1 and 2 and then beating the one current SEC team, Southern, and the future SEC team.
Yeah, the Southern footprint teams.
I feel like that is very poetic. This season, especially get not just the Pac-12 dying and not just the realignment and the teams going to the SEC and the end of an era of college football, but I think more so, I just think that in a year where I think it was pretty obvious and we definitely believe that the SEC was not the best conference in college football this season for the first time in a long time, I just think it's apropos to have a dominant team like Michigan and a dominant team like Washington be the ones to be in the natty. I feel like it's just a way to win. Like Washington has consistently been the underdog all season long, even when they're favored. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's always like everyone, it's going to catch up to them.
Expects them to fight. It's one of those things. Okay, I talk. It's like how we thought with Alabama. You're like, okay, that second loss is coming at some point. This is one of those mm-hmm. Saban's 10-2 teams, which is typically his worst, and it never came.
Yeah.
And there's an element, we do this a lot in the NFL too, where it's just like, so like, for example, the Kansas City Chiefs, and a lot of the conversation for them this season is just like, well, when they eventually figure out the passing attack and the wide receivers and the drops, then it'll get fixed. We're 14 games in and it's still happening. So at a certain point, it isn't a problem that you get to fix. It's who you are for both good. And that's the thing with Washington, where it's just like, well, at some point they're going to drop it because they're not built, but they just haven't. So at a certain point, you have to recognize that's what this team is. It's like TCU last year. TCU is a team that wins close games. Mm-hmm. They just did. That was what they were. And you keep expecting that to bounce the other way. And there is elements to that. But I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of these teams is that at this point in the season, there's no waiting for the other shoe to drop. This team is what it is.
Yeah.
I
agree. And I think that having teams like that in this season, I don't know, maybe I'm just too romantic. Maybe I just, you know, too much in the story aspect of the game and stuff, but like, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want Michigan and Washington. So I had Texas. And while I think Texas, either team could, like, who knows?
I think Michigan and Texas would be a great game too.
I think any combination of these four teams would be a great game.
I agree.
Any combination. But I'm telling you, I had Texas. I am moving it over. This is our final picks. Like, yes, this sir. Episode is our final picks, just for the record. I'm going Washington. I don't know, man. It's maybe it is. Maybe I'm too romantic about this game. And maybe, you know, given everything that's happened with college football, I just want something. I can't believe I'm getting emotional. I just want something where we can look back and say, the reason the Pac-12 died, the reason that the center of the sport is in the South, the American South, is just because those things are, just because the center of American football is in the South, college football is in the South, doesn't mean that it doesn't matter and isn't good in other parts of the country. And I think Absolutely. The death of the Pac-12, to me, I don't want it to be in vain in some way. And yeah, man, I'd rather see the two future Big 12 teams in this. And I don't know, in a perfect world, Washington, Seattle, the most West Coast that you can get. Yeah, man, I don't know. I just want the Huskies to win it, and call me emotional, call me irrational. That's fine. But I think that this team can do it. So I'm gonna go Washington and Michigan.
Heck yeah, brother. I'm with you. I talked openly about how it's like I kind of wish the SEC had missed the playoff because I thought it would have been hilarious.
I'm kind of wishing the SEC missed the playoff.
I'm kind of wishing the SEC missed the playoff.
Yeah, I kind of am too.
I'm so excited. I'm so Me excited too. For these games.
Me too. Me too, man. We'll be back to talk about the results of these two games and to preview the Natty. Which we think, or we hope, will be Michigan-Washington. But again, not discrediting Texas or Bama. Like, this isn't we're not out here slandering that anything. We could have a Bama-Texas rematch, and I would be excited from a football perspective. I would be pumped to see that again. We could see Michigan-Texas. I would be pumped. We could see Bama-Washington. That would be different. It would be original. That would be fun. So I'm in on all of those situations. But I hope, you know, from a storytelling perspective, you know,
I love that the team that has probably what is viewed as the weakest roster has unequivocally the best quarterback from a story perspective. It's so interesting to me because it's like as much as you want to discredit Washington, like we talked about, they got the very clearly best quarterback,
very clearly,
and that matters a lot. And by arguably by numbers, the most talented roster has, in my opinion, the worst quarterback. And Jim Milroe is still great, but like, it's just so interesting. And it is in the final year of the 14 playoff. I will say it really is bad that Florida State did not get in my opinion, for the health of the sport. But at the same time, this is a beautiful thing that we're going to get to watch.
Yes. Once again, Florida State should have been in, but these to me are the four best teams in the country right now. And I'm excited for the bangers semifinals we're going to get. And any combination of these four teams in the Natty will be a good game. So I'm excited for that as well. Tyler, is there any... Oh, before I ask you that, before I sign us off, again, we're going to be back for to recap these games and to preview the Natty. And then after that, we will have conversations about the Florida Gators, our Florida Gators postmortem. And then we're going to figure out an off-season schedule where we can come on. We owe people episodes, Tyler, going back about two years now.
We owe people episodes.
We owe people some episodes. So we're going to get those done this off-season for sure. We'll get people on. It'll be a fun time. But this is our final episode of 2023. Tyler, it's been another fantastic year of podcasting with you. I'm so happy we get to do this. We are recording on the 17th, so I'll once again tell you, Tyler, Merry Christmas. I should probably tell you right now, I'm going to post this episode on Christmas Day. So listeners, this is Christmas Day and or after Christmas. So if you celebrate, Merry Christmas. We wish you a lovely time with your friends and family. And we wish you a lovely time with your football friends and family and in these semifinals and the rest of the bowl games, Tyler. So
have fun. You know, we will.
Yes, we will. We definitely will. Anything else you want to say before we sign off for 2023?
It is a holiday. every year it is a holiday miracle that we get to do this. Mm-hmm. Not that there's always anything stopping us, but it is, I just, one of my favorite things that I get to do every year.
Same
podcast with you.
Same with you.
Wonderful holiday gift, and we get to keep on getting it.
And listen, if I get to, if I get my way next year, we'll be talking Florida Gators round of 16 playoffs, ladies and gentlemen. Who knows?
With that schedule, I don't know, man.
Listen, if West Virginia can have the 12 months they just had, why not us?
Why not us?
I'm just saying. I'm just saying, my man. Anything else you want to say before we sign off?
No. happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Christmas. Thank you so much for being on this ride with us. This has been the final episode, the final 2023 episode of Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler.
And we are not biased, Tyler, but I'm going to do it. Go Huskies.
Go Huskies.